spectrum. And we were talking then about how many of us boomers are coming up now. And our parents are now at the age of failing health. And there's a lot of questions and a lot of things. We don't know what to do. We don't have the answers. And you come from Creative Elder Solutions. You are the founder, huh?
I am the founder and president.
And you knew there was a need for this, didn't you?
I did.
Get right in there.
I've actually been doing this since I was 30. Sometimes I think I'm 82, but I'm really only 52.
Certainly don't look 82. You look beautiful. So how did you get into this? What made you decide that this was an important subject?
You know, years ago, I've been in Reno almost 40-some years. Went to high school here. Both of my degrees are from the university.
You too, JP?
What?
From Reno?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. What were you flagging for?
I was pointing at her microphone.
He was helping
Sorry,
me out.
He was helping you.
He was helping me out. So actually,
it's professional radio stuff.
Pointers.
Yes.
So I started my career in the emergency rooms doing trauma social work years and years ago in my 20s.
Really? And now, wait a minute. A social work in the emergency room?
Trauma social work. Uh-huh.
What is that? What does that mean?
You know, in all emergency rooms or most emergency rooms across the nation, you need people along with the doctors and the nurses to help families deal with the things that happen, the crises, the medical crises.
Yeah.
And so we're the people that support that staff and we're part of the team, whether it's working with sudden infant death syndrome, child abuse cases, battered women, suicide, alcohol addiction, child protective service work, whatever.
You really got into the fun stuff, didn't you?
That's what I wanted to do.
You wanted to be of service,
so
didn't
I
you?
Did that for about 15, 20 years. That's where I met Dr. Childs when we were young, before we had our families.
Yeah.
And then I branched off into the field of geriatric health care.
What made you want to get into that, geriatric health care?
A friend of mine ran into me and says, we need somebody part-time over at Renown Medical, and It's a geriatric medical clinic, and, you know, I said, I'm going to give this a try, and that was when I was about 30 years of age.
Continuation of your great work.
And I've never looked back. It's taking the medical background that I have, my master's degree training, and just focusing on geriatrics.
And so important now with all the boomers that are coming up, and like I said, our parents are young. There's so much confusion on home health care, in-home health care, out-of-home living, assisted living. Give us kind of some enlightenment on all those.
And, you know, as I prepared for this today, I can talk for days on the field of geriatrics because it's so broad.
Yeah, it
is. So I asked myself, how do I narrow this for families or for the listener so it's educational and they can walk away and go, oh, that's how that works. So I start off by thinking, if I wanted to teach somebody in 15 minutes about geriatrics, what would be the best information I could hand out? And the first thing I'd say is, in geriatrics, you're building a team of people that are helping you, okay? Because when we're younger, that team, and I talked about the concept of building a team, that team might be the lawn service, that team might be the banker, the grocery store clerk. But as we get older and we need help personally with either personal care, with other types of community resources, we're building a team of other types of help.
Including doctors.
First and foremost, the primary team would be the client themselves, the family, the neighborhood of friends and support, but then you build your team of doctors and you build your team of community resources that older person might need, whether it's help in the home, help outside of the home, help with relocation, and learning about the community resources, which is a big part of my job.
Yeah, it's very important too for people to have that because how many people know their neighbors? How many people start that community growing, that team that you're talking about?
The first thing I do as a geriatric care manager is I start that assessment process. Let me learn about that older person. How do they live every day of their life? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? And that means financial, spiritual, medical, pharmaceutical, nutritional, all of that.
Wow.
Financial. And then from there I say, okay, as a care manager, how do I help this family develop some guidance and some long-term planning? Because that's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah.
For everybody in this room right now, we're going to get older.
Yeah. Mm.
Every minute, every second.
Don't go so far, Carolyn.
Not you and me, right, Jen?
No.
Not going to happen.
And we know that we're going to have to start building that. And I think we're more conscious of it than our parents.
We are.
It's a different world now.
Yeah.
And when you have an organization like this, Creative Elder Solutions, you get it all. You have a person like you who's an expert and knows the steps to take.
And not everybody can afford a private geriatric care management company. So the other thing I wanted to enlighten people today is, where do they go for help if a private geriatric care manager isn't available? So sometimes people are in a hospital. In a hospital, it can be the discharge planner or the case manager that can help them at least figure out where do they go once they leave the hospital.
So as a family member, you could go to...
Yes, as a family member, if you have an elder person in a hospital that's been admitted for whatever medical reason, you can say, the first person I want to talk to besides the doctor and the nurse that's helping take care of mom or dad or my husband or wife is the discharge planner or the case manager. That's a good member of your team during that hospitalization, because they're also specialists to some level on community resources and also what's going to be the plan of care once they leave the hospital. If somebody's not in a hospital but they're at home, where do they turn for help? It could be somebody at AARP, their insurance provider, or a local insurance provider. It could be if they're on Nevada Medicaid and they're lower income, it could be their social worker or caseworker.
That are all overloaded.
Well, but at least it's a point of resource and
right,
information.
So you can get the information that you need, where to go from there.
If a doctor, your primary doctor, has ordered in-home health care for any kind of rehabilitation or nursing care, it can be the social worker from the home health agency that's covered under Medicare, so there's no cost for them to come in and do an assessment and help you with some information.
So many people don't know that's available.
It is. It really is. You can, you know, if you're getting home health for any kind of rehabilitation, physical therapy, speech, wound care, nursing visits, you can say to your nurse case manager, can you send out your social worker? You know, And they'll send their social worker out, and it's included under their health insurance benefit.
So that's the first thing to know, is that you can get help at the hospital.
You can get help. If, for example, you're on Nevada Medicaid, you have a caseworker. If you're in a nursing home, there's a caseworker there that's going to help you. So
talk to them. Find out the resources,
exactly.
The next steps. Yeah.
Those are people that are members of your team that can give you that information. Because you know what? Geriatrics, it's kind of like a world all of its own. It's daunting for those family members that have never taken care of an older person.
Daunting is
and
the
I've
word.
And I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
As a business owner, as a care manager, but also as someone who has helped with my mother's care, but also with my aunt who had end-stage dementia of Alzheimer's type.
And that's very prevalent
right
now. And
I managed her care, so.
Well, see, you know the ins and outs, but people out there that don't, they don't really know where to start with the help. And then you're working, you're working and your parents are, what is the stage where they go to assisted living?
Where I usually start is when I meet clients or when any care manager or hospital professional or someone that does what I do meets with families. You figure out if they're at home, what's working at home and what's not working at home. Because if people can live in their own home, you want
good.
Always the focus of good health care for seniors is helping them stay in the least restrictive environment as long as you always focus on safety. Safety is paramount. What guides me in the work I do ethically, morally, and professionally is the least restrictive environment, the highest level of independence, but safety as that guiding light for us. If someone's not safe, then they might not be able to be at home.
And how do you know? Because you know your parent, your elder parent is not going to tell you. I know of someone.
Well.
And they're not going to tell you, I shouldn't be here. You're not going to know all the things. You call them and you say, and they say, oh, I'm all right. I'm watching my...
Or when they go to doctor's appointments, They get the makeup on and they change their clothes and they look really good at the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. But if you don't see how they're living at home, that you get a different picture when you go to people's homes and do an assessment. So if as a relative, as a neighbor, as a friend, if you're starting to be concerned about somebody... They're not coming out to pick up the mail every day. They're seeming to be forgetful. You're getting more calls of concern from that person or from someone. You can at least start by contacting a relative or a friend of that person, that elder person, and ask and tell the relative, you need to do an assessment. Somebody needs to do an assessment. And it can start with the doctor, the primary physician, to figure out what are the areas of, why is somebody having risk areas living at home?
And what are the problems? They'll send someone out to do that assessment,
they
right?
They can. They can send out a home health agency. They can have Elder Protective Services go out. They can refer to a company like mine or somebody from the Washoe County Senior Center. There's a number of environments that could go out and offer help.
Now, how about financially? Can you offer older people who are living at home that are maybe considering, maybe their family's considering them in another kind of living help? Can you offer them financial assistance in finding the proper place for them, what they can afford, what they can get through Medicaid, what they'll, you know, yes. I've heard of a lot of cases where elder people losing their home because they really can't afford the living expenses.
You know, again, that starts in the assessment process. Part of that assessment is looking at the finances. If somebody is going to live at home and wants to stay at home, what can they afford in terms of care in the home from either a caregiver company or whatever services they might need, or even going to an adult day program 2 or 3 days out of the week? That covered under insurance or under their Medicare or under Medicaid, or do they have to pay privately? So part of that assessment is figuring out what is somebody's monthly income, what are their assets, and do they want to pay for help? Sometimes older people from the Depression generation do not want to part with their money.
No, they don't.
They don't. They want to.